We're holding Nedarim Chav Zayin Amid Beis, two lines from the top, continuing to ask questions on Rava. Maishna mehahu da'amar lehu, what's different in the following case? The guy's talking about his man. A man wants to give his wife a get. He says sort of like this: Ilo asena mikan ad tolosim yom. If I don't come here within 30 days, lahavigita, then this should be a get. So it's on the condition. Also, the guy came on the 30th day, upasake me'abra, but he was blocked from the, there wasn't a ferry to help him cross the river. So he's screaming from the other side of the river, chazuda soy, look, I came here, meaning I don't want the get to be chal. Va'amar Shmuel lo shmei masya, right? That's not called coming. Am I? Why not? I mean, is not honest. Isn't that an example of a total honest? That is as if he came. So you look in Hilchas Gerushin, the Rambam brings this down in Perek Tes Halacha Ches. Hisna lav shia get im lo bo ad shloshim yom. Again, case of our Gemara appears elsewhere in Shas also. But he says, I make a condition that this should not be a good get if I don't come back within 30 days, right? I'm sorry, I said backwards. This is the get if I don't come within 30 days. Medina Zoo, Vahayabo, Baderech, Batok Shloshim Yom, he's coming, Vahalo, he got sick, oh, Achvo, Nahar, the river, blocked him from crossing, couldn't do it, it overflowed, couldn't get a ferry, something like that. Lobo, Aracher Shloshim Yom, he comes after 30 days. Hare is a get, this is a get. Afila Omeid, Batsovech, and he's screaming, Hare Ani Ones, it was beyond my control. She'ein Ones Begitin. Rambam Pasen says that we don't follow this in terms of Gittin. Afa pi shegila daiti, even though he clearly makes it known to us, she'ein ritzon legarish, he didn't want to, but that's the din, ain't onus begitin. So now the Gemara says, one second, Dilma onso de miglae shiny. Maybe a case of an onus where it's totally clear and it's apparent to everyone that you could have anticipated that, that should be different, right? Uma abra migle onse, right? And this is a clear case. The way the Mephoresh explains on the Gemara, like the first wide line, thin line, I should say, Dilma onse dilmigale shiny. Umaabra onse dimigalehu. The fact that he couldn't get a ride across the river, that's should have known and be anticipated. It's not, you can't find a ferry to cross you on this side of the river. So we require that he should have taken that into account when he made this condition on the get. Still, doesn't matter. If an onus happened to him, Amar Gamar Umakne Lahave Get. He says, okay, even if an onus happens, it's still going to be a get. Afila ikvu shum onus. Even if an onus happens, that still the get will take place. Aval ba'alma, but maybe in general, in a non-case like this, he misnis potter. Maybe it wouldn't he'd be exempt from that. Samara says, one second. Ula Rav Huna. According to the Rav Huna's pshat, we were asking in Rav, but Rav Huna, the case we saw on Amud Aleph, was the guy leaves his shtaros in the Beis Din. He says, "Michti asmachtehi." Is this this is an asmachta? Now that's an important term to understand. An asmachta means it's something with inconclusive consent. He's relying upon something in the future that's going to happen. He makes a big assumption, right? He assumed that he's going to come back. And he's going to give away these things. Vasmachta lo kanya. The more I was going to explain, that's actually a machlokis, but an asmachta doesn't make a kinyan, doesn't effectively transfer ownership from one person to another person, right? So even the person's going to make a kinyan on that fact, and he doesn't have the intention to actually go through with it. So when it says, shiny hocha, this case is different with this shtaros, the mispisan zuchuson, because they're being... they're held up by the Beis Din, right? He didn't intend to give them up in case he doesn't come back. This idea about an asmachta, so let me just explain a little bit as Mor is going to go through it. Different definitions in the Rishonim as to what exactly is an asmachta. The Ramban gives up three things. He says that it makes an asmachta different from any other type of tanoi. So first of all, in an asmachta, there's some part of like it's an exaggeration or something like that. two people are standing, and they each have a rock in their hand. He says, "How much will you give me if I could if I throw and I hit that stop sign halfway down the block or something like that?" There, in basketball, blindfolded from a three-quarter. I'll give you $10,000. So obviously it's an exaggeration. It doesn't really mean I'll give you $1 million. He's exaggerating. So that's one condition of an us that would show it's an asmach that he really didn't have das to do that. Right? I mean, he's promising a lot. Second of all, an idea the Ramban says that asmachta only takes place when it's something that happens passively. But if it's something that has to be active, that's not considered an asmachta because that's like it's on your will. Something like this means biyado. And a third criteria to understand if something is an asmachta is when it's partially dependent on the person who's making the one who's speaking about it, right? But if it's totally dependent on him or totally independent of him, it's not as asmachta. And the Ritva brings down these three opinions of the Ramban. And he also says that we don't have there's no asmachta when it comes to kiddushin and gerushin. Okay, so now the Rambam, in terms of Hilchos Mechira, the beginning of Yud Aleph discusses how you can make a condition on a sale. Hamakne bein karka bein metalton. Whether we're dealing with property or whether we're dealing with an object, v'histin tanoim she'ef shlekaim. They make conditions on the sale that are possible to be fulfilled. Where the person who's selling, one who's buying it, makes the condition. If the condition is fulfilled, then it's a good sale. If not, then it's not a good sale. Okay, it's been explained elsewhere, but that's the idea. Halacha Beis. This is Perek Yudaf Beis. The condition is not happening right now. Even though it happened later on, then that's not a good kinyan. This is an asmachta v'harei smach kinyoso la'asos kach v'kach v'kol asmachta ein akone shahai lo gamar b'libo l'hiskenoso. They had l'gnoso to make a full kinyan. There's a lacking of gemira's das. This is a whole idea in the sugya in Sanhedrin about the Masachi Bekuvia. The whole thing, it's an asmachta, because a person never feels that they're going to actually lose. A person never really thought this event was going to happen. As the Gemara is going to give a few examples of this right now. The Heicha, says the Gemara, the Mispasin, lava smachtehi. Is that really true? When a person gives over something to a third party to hold from, that's not called asmachta. V'hatanan, a famous case now in this whole sugya of asmachta, it's in Bava Basra, Kuf Samaches. Cases like this. Mi shepora miktas chovo, v'hishlish eshtaro. So the case is like this. The guy owes, let's just say, $1,000, and he paid back part of it. He paid back half of it. Paid back $500. And now he says, they didn't write a new shtar. But really the shtar says in IOU that I, Reuven, owe Shimon $1,000. And he says, look, I know we already paid you back a half of it. I'm so convinced I'm going to pay you back the rest amount by this time. I'm going to give you the last $500. If I don't, I'm giving over this shtar, which really is an IOU. You can collect $1,000 from me, to a third party. And if I don't give you the remaining money, he's going to give you that, and you can collect the full $1,000 from me all over again. It's as if I never paid you anything. That's what the case is talking about. The Omer says the Gemara, im ein ani noisin lo mikan v'ad shloshim yom. If I don't pay back the remaining amount within 30 days, tein lo shtaro. You can give him the shtar. Now he can come against me and collect the entire amount. Now, obviously, the person would only do this if he felt confident that he's going to pay back the remaining amount. He would never want to unnecessarily make him pay more than that. He just means to pay back the $1,000 he owned. He paid back half of it, and he's like giving a guarantee for this. Okay, so it comes to the Gemara and says, Higiyazman v'lo noson. If the 30 days passed and he didn't give the remainder of the money that he owes, so what's the din? Again, the guy never thought this was really going to happen, but does he have to pay back? So Rabbi Yossi Omer Yitain. Rabbi Yossi says this, this the third party who was holding on gives it over. He gives over the shtar, and that's it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer lo yitain. Rabbi Yehuda says no. You don't give over the money. The guy never meant it. He never really meant to pay. To he never thought it was going to happen. He didn't have das for this at all. For Omer of Nachman Omer Rabba Baravua Omer Rav ein halacha Rabbi Yosi. We don't follow the halacha of Rabbi Yosi to Omer Asmachta Kanya. Rabbi Yosi is the Tana who holds an Asmachta is Kone. We don't follow that. We assume that if you even though you made a statement, you really weren't. It was exaggeration. It was an assurance. You were relying upon something you never ever thought that was going to happen. So now, back to our case, when the guy leaves his shtaros in the Beis Din, right? He thinks he's going to get back in time, right? So you see in the Mishnah that even in a case when the shtar is held by a third party, right? Then that's still considered a smachta, and it's not valid. So Mora says, no, shiny hocha da omra libotlon zach vose. Now here it's different because the guy said he told the Beis Din explicitly that these should be bottle, right? So that shows that he did have kavana to come back, right? If I don't, then it's there. In here the Rambam in 1 second, also in Hilchos Mechira, Yud Aleph, let's go to Halacha Hey. V'chemi shepara miktas chovo v'hishlish es shtar v'omer lo im lo nesati l'cho ad yom ploni tein lo shtaro v'higi ezman v'lo nosan lo. The time came and didn't pay back. Lo yitein hasholish es a shtar shezeh asmachtehi. Again, he didn't really mean it. That he's not really bounding. Okay, Zamora concludes like this. V'hilchaso, the halacha in the case is like this. Asmachte kanyo. And a smachta does make a kinyan, v'hu d'lo onus, right? That's only in a case where the smachta, there wasn't an onus involved, something that's beyond the person's control that would prevent him from doing it, but instead he makes deliberately not to fulfill the condition. V'hu d'kana mine v'beis din choshev. And also the halacha works if this was done in a important, an eminent shtarka beis din, that's where it would apply, but not for any other like in types of agreement that would take place. It was outside of a Beis Din Choshev. The Ran over here in the last thin line says V'hilchas l'asmachta kanya v'hud lo onis v'lo dekane mine be'Beis Din Choshev, right? V'hud dekane le Beis Din Choshev v'hud lo onis. The case where it's not an onis kilomer means afile dumya dechala beno. The case where son got sick she'ein onis gomer. That's not a complete onis. Te'i onis gomer kamer pshita. Onis gomer is it's obvious. Ela ki hai ansa dekamer. What's the onis we're talking about? Daha madminon le le'el. Masnisin de Nidarim, de Chi Heche de Amr Masnisin, Adaita de Chol Abano Lo Hidiru. Right? Had I known my son was going to get sick, I wouldn't have made the Neder. So Hachinam in our case too. Ki Itviz Zuchuse Lo Allah Al Daito Shaniach Bano Chole Vyotze Lariv. Right? He had no intention that it was never going to happen. He was clear in his kavanas, and that's why this case was the Asmachta would be Kone. Okay, we'll pick it up next time with the next Mishnah, which takes us on to the beginning of Chaf Ches Amud Aleph.